There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
To be a god, to wield the power of good and evil, that is your destiny.
Finally, I have purpose. Yep. Glorious purpose.
Yep, you can live the life you were destined to live. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Play Retro. That's right, this is Play Retro, a show about old-ass video games, and I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson. Look, here's the deal. I like huge monkeys as much as the next guy. Okay, I'm really into them. What with their intimidation and their intimidating manners, their poo-throwing prowess. There's one big thing, though. If I am your god, don't expect any special treatment and don't bother praying, as I don't really listen. I just make volcanoes and stuff. Enjoy.
And stuff. Oh, and I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, the bottle. Hey, somebody's been in my notes. And I think this giant hand of God currently floating above me is about to change my small village life here in Eden into something with meaning, like a disciple of woodworking or food harvesting. Nope, I'm a sacrifice. Yep, human sacrifice. Damn you, feces tossing monkey creature. I cursed the day you came into my life.
Death. You know that game has those really cool soundtrack. Listen to some of this here.
Oh my god,
just
a tad of it.
Here. Just trippy and, you know.
Slaps. That starting is so slappy.
Oh, I know. It's really good. Some of the best stuff of its ilk, I would say. Anyway, we're going to talk all about Black and White, the PC video game from the fine folks at Lionhead Studios. And we'll talk a little bit about the follow-up Black and White 2 and also try to figure out why the hell there hasn't been a 3 or any other anything since then.
Yeah, just something, any kind of, nothing. You know, Black and White. I mean, come on, you own the name.
I know. It's Microsoft. Weird. Very influential game with very little follow-up. And we'll figure out why here in a minute. But before we do, a couple of quick things going on this week in our retro lives. I nabbed another Ambernic RG58XX.
What?
And here's why I did it. Two reasons.
Okay, give me it.
One is I really... Okay. I have three reasons, actually.
my reasons are threefold.
That's right.
Like a wallet.
There you go. Nailed it.
Credit card, a license ID, and cash. Go ahead.
You had it exactly right. So my son had a baby this week.
Oh, and congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much. It's all going real good. They're actually coming over here right now. They're leaving the hospital. They're
going to
hang out,
good.
Have lunch, and then go home and get some rest. Anyway, I've been wanting to do this for a while, but my son loved... He was really into my handhelds back when he was little. So he was playing my GBA and my Game Boy and my DS and all this stuff. Loved it when he was just a little kid, 5-6-year-old kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
he was the town crier for a long time, right?
On the instance. Yeah, he sure was. He started at age 5 and kept doing it all the way through the lifetime of that show. But now he's 23. He's almost 24. He is 23.
Now there's a new town crier. I can't get any sleep.
I know. It's pretty nuts.
I'm crying.
But here's the thing. He loves that old retro stuff, but they're a little tight right now. New baby, you know, life's expensive, all that stuff. So I thought... Well, there's this sale, and I can get this new Ambernic for cheap, for $40 is on sale on AliExpress. I think they're gone now, though, so nobody go rushing there.
Scott ordered all of them. The greatest gift you can give, the gift of retro.
Yeah, it's a great gift, right? So I'm giving them that.
Right.
And I'm going to do a little switcheroo. I'm getting the new one for me because the new one is translucent white, and I want that translucent. So I'm getting that. I'll keep that one. And then I will retrofit the my current one to be perfectly suited for Nick's needs. And then he will get that with all these games on it and all this stuff. And he'll be very happy about it. So that is how I have justified the purchase of an additional AmberNick device. I'm going to get in there and do that.
This is a cycle of life that continues on. This is how I got my start into video games. Every time my dad wanted to get a new thing, he wanted to pass on the old thing. He could have just, you know, given the thing away or whatever. But every time he got new equipment, he would pass that on to me, the old equipment, which was like gold to me.
Yeah.
And the tradition continues. I did the same thing, except I didn't do it with my kids. My kids already had a lot of handheld things. And I had a nephew. And he had, my sister called and said, oh, he dropped his little gaming console. And I said, oh, what did he have? And she told me about it. I'm like, oh, it's one of those little $20 things off Amazon. You know, she doesn't know any difference. She's, you know, she's my sister. What does she know about retro gaming? Anyway, so I was like, okay. And I was like, she said, can you fix the screen? I said, no, not for $20. No, I'm not doing that. Yeah. So I said, but what I can do is I can give you one of these, because I'm one to order the RG35XX+. So it hasn't come in back in stock yet, but I went ahead and gave him that, and he called me immediately. And you've never heard a small, you know, 9-10-year-old be as excited about this. I'm so excited that he's so excited about playing some old ass games.
Oh, dude, he'll remember you forever. You'll be his favorite uncle until he's
hopefully
dead.
This is something that will spark you know, interest in video games that will last him a lifetime.
Yep. Love that little device. So go get your, I wish AliExpress still had them on this price, because this price was very limited. They only had,
you said like 40 something bucks or something.
40 bucks plus tax is all, like, so for like $42.99 or something. And when I grabbed it, it said there were only three left. So I got one of the final three, and I'm sure the rest are gone now. I haven't gone back to check, but I'm sure they're gone.
They hover around that price and about $50 if you keep your eyes open when they come in stock. So if you missed out this time, keep your eyes open. There'll be another sale eventually.
Love that little thing. Brian, you also got a new Super Nintendo. You called it a treasure in our notes. I'm curious what that means. What do you got? What is it?
Oh, so this is something I've been wanting. So September, who is one of our community members, good friend, actually, got to see her this when we went to the Southeast meet. I'm going to get her to see her again, hopefully, this next one. So as sometimes happens, as someone in our community will send me a picture with no description other than a picture and a bunch of retro games with prices and says, you need anything? And I was like, yeah, top corner. Get me that Super Mario All-Stars for the SNES.
Yeah, baby.
So I was like, do it. So, you know, Venmo, send us a few dollars there. She got a good deal. I didn't even know where she got this from. It was a picture of a table with a bunch of retro stuff on it. I don't know if she was at a convention or she was just at some retro store or what. She didn't even say. She just said, hey, you know, 9 or 12 just said, hey, here you go. What do you want? And I was like, hey, give me that. Day later, shipped it to me. I was like, let me pay some shipping. She's like, she never said anything. I was like, let me pay you some shipping. And so I guess
she's just too nice. Thank you so much, there she September. Is. Statesville Comic Con is where she was. She's in the chat.
Statesville Comic Con. Very good. So there you go. Yeah. But you anytime.
Statesville. What does the hell that mean? Well, what the hell is Statesville? Is that a town? Statesville?
I don't know. I'm assuming that's probably is that in Georgia somewhere? Statesville.
Is that near Countryville or freaking Nationville? That's a weird thing to call your
Statesville.
State.
Oh, it's in September's town there. I didn't know that. So is this the name of the... Okay, so North Carolina. Very good.
Statesville, North Carolina. Yeah, never heard of it. That's cool. All right.
Statesville. We're a state.
Congratulations.
Where do you want to be? Statesville. Yeah, we do that. I mean, is it any worse than places like Greenville?
Well, you guys got to share a football team, and that kind of blows, you know?
It does kind of blow. It sucks and
poor suckers. But also, you also say you got a Valentine's surprise. What does that mean?
I did. I got a Valentine's surprise. So, you know, I it's not necessarily retro gaming, but it is retro related, retro adjacent. So I told, you know, I've been looking for old games and old video cassettes as I've been out there looking about. One of the things I've been wanting for a while is Beetlejuice, but I can't ever come across it.
Beetlejuice.
But I did mention it to Audra, my significant other, and so surprise, surprise to me, right in next to some chocolate, some dark chocolate. I like dark chocolate, by the way.
Me too.
It's a Beetlejuice. And so I was worried. I was like, oh, I hope she didn't spend too much money on this thing, because I've seen these cassettes go for quite a bit.
Yeah,
like
for those at home, we're talking range. A VHS copy of Beetlejuice. We're not talking DVDs or Blu-rays or anything.
We're not talking the musical. We're not talking about DVDs. We're not talking about Laserdisc. We're talking about the video cassette VHS. But one of the most interesting things that came in here, nice little surprise, we had a sticker for a $5 rebate off of Gizmo Furby.
Don't get it wet.
I really
don't get it wet.
Don't get it. Don't feed it and don't get it wet.
Yeah.
And it's got a vocabulary of 150 words and sounds. It plays games and you can teach it tricks. What kind of tricks? Probably wake up middle of the night as the batteries are going dead.
But it comes with a free Frogurt.
Feed me.
Yep. Those are the days. So that's obviously not going to work as a coupon today, because that thing's not being sold anymore, right? That's an old deal.
That's right. That's not being sold anymore. Chat wants to know why VHS tapes suck. Tapes can I am going for the authentic experience of how I experience these movies. And if that means 4x3 with bad tracking, that's what I'm interested in. And yeah, what's wrong with that?
I mean, is this your first time tuning in, Captain Kipper? Because this is Brian. This is his life now. He wants old CRTs. Look at those CRTs behind him right now. Those aren't modern displays. That's not some flat screen LED night thing. That's like a nightmare, is what it is.
It's not like I'm doing vinyl or something. It's like, oh, it's much more warm. It's pure nostalgia, re-experiencing, igniting that memory in my brain. Because I've watched Beetlejuice on streaming. I watch it plenty of times. If I want to see Beetlejuice, I'll see it like that. But when I get teleported back, it's like when you smell something, you smell something like, oh, I just been taken back. Or you hear that song, and it's like, oh yeah, I'm taking that.
That tape's song. Got that it's old. Just, that's got an old tape smell. Is what that smell is.
Right. That's a bunch of dust.
What does it smell like? Now. Tell me. Wait. Give a big whiff to the thing. What does that thing smell like?
Literally just smells like nothing. It's plastic.
I was hoping to be like some smoker guy owned it or
I try to be aware of that. And usually when I order stuff, I look for stuff, this, smoke-free home, that kind of stuff. And if I pick up stuff at the thrift store, I'll give it a sniff. It does have to pass a sniff test before I get in my office.
You want to see if it's got like, smells like cloves or something.
Yeah. And we talked about it. I've found retro stuff before with pot in it. So, it happens.
That's true. You could easily find a little bundle of the good weed in there.
I could find a little bit of the good weed.
The good weed. Goodweed.com.
To me.
Yeah, that's great. Look, you get what you get, and you tell us about it. And there's also a bit of news here. I don't know when it premieres. We got to keep our eyes open for this. Sometime in March. But the X-Men 97 thing's coming to Disney Plus. And I want to watch that with you and the community via Discord channel, because that's the legal way we can do it.
Yeah. I feel the same. I don't feel bad about watching watch parties on Discord.
No, I don't at all.
It's a small community of people. It'd be like if unfortunately you can't come to my house, but that's okay. I'm not charging you for it. We're just some friends. We all have equal interest in this. It's all going to be good. Not to mention, all of us probably have the darn streaming service. All of us is good.
Yeah, everyone's got it. Even if they don't, whatever. It's like having people over to your house. That's how we're going to do it. So all I'm saying is, like, coming up, whenever it is, do we know what the premiere is? When do we know? Let's look it up.
Is it middle of March or was it? I can't remember now, but I'm very excited. Is the continuation, if you ever watched the X-Men cartoon, the one with the great theme song, it's the continuation of that, and it's very much got that flavor.
It's that style of animation. It's that that's the music, story that we ended on there. All of it. The trailer's out now, so you can go see what's going on. But it's literally a direct follow up to that old ass 90s cartoon. And let's see, it is
upcoming.
Here it is. Release date March 20th on Disney Plus.
I thought it was that. Yep.
It will run for 10 episodes. The premiere, they'll come week by week. So we have to make a decision. Do we after the show on a Friday just kick right in and start with number one, or do we wait till they pile up? Like, how you want to handle it?
Let's watch it as it comes, baby. Why wait?
Okay.
I'm not denying myself that luxury.
All right, we're doing it, sir. Count on it. Count on it for real. We're doing it. We might invite Ibbit or somebody who loves Marvel and can't get enough.
Oh, does he like Marvel?
Maybe a little bit. Just a micron of interest in Marvel.
He might be a little sick.
We'll see what's going on there. All right. Well, that's going to do it for all of our disgusting talk about all that business. Let's now move on to today's main topic.
Shall we game.
We shall indeed. Let's talk about the game Black and White.
Yes.
I'll give you a little bit of intro first so you can kind of hear what this thing sounded like.
A land of innocence has no need for gods. Until fate intervenes.
Keep away from the water!
Stop!
As you can hear, we got some really stupid locals involved.
Yeah, this is the island or land of Eden that is occupied by what I can best describe as polygonal or polygon wrapped hobbits.
Yeah, they're weird and kind of gross. But it was also, you know, a long time ago. It's 2001. We were just sort of getting our hands around what 3D even meant, especially a game where you're meant to see it from a more pulled out view. It's a god game, and you're not meant to be all up close. But for what it was, when it was good enough, and it caused me to have to upgrade my computer. I couldn't play this game when I bought it. I had to buy it, and then I went, oh, this is running very poorly. I'm going to Newegg, dear. I'll see you in an hour. And I went to Newegg and bought some new components.
Caused me great envy. I had a friend who purchased Black and White. I remember seeing it at Fry's. I was very excited. My friend told me they purchased it. I didn't really know a lot about it at the time. I didn't know who Lionhead Studios was. I didn't know none of that stuff at that point because it was a new studio. I wasn't keeping up with the gaming news back then. Anyway, I was enamored. Let me borrow it. Tried to put it on my PC. No go. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I just envied him from afar. And I by the time I did have a PC that would run it, I never installed it. So this is my first time playing Black and White, and it is totally different than my memory has allowed me to remember. Other than the box, is still sexy. It's if I went to Fry's Electronics.
Yep, Fry's.
And in Ahwatukee in Phoenix. And it, on the one side is a flap, and it's black, and it's got this really cool yin yang dragon kind of logo thing, and you open it up and it lists out the, you know, it's got little great all screenshots and stuff, which look really good in 2001. Yeah. Then you can flip it over and it's a white side, and you flip it open and there's more pictures and stuff of how to be, you know, good or evil. On one side is the good side, you got your nice little god hand. The other side is all crippled up and dungeon keepery looking and rah!
Yeah,
and
that was the whole idea, right? The term Black and White was not about color or, you know, something to do with the game itself. It was about the difference between good and bad, the opposites,
right?
The yin and the yang. You had the, you know, the little devil guy talking to you, a little angel, old man angel guy talking to you, and you got to decide as the game went on what kind of god you were going to be. Are you going to be a terrible one that would just inspire fear in your people, or are you going to be one that was always giving them good stuff and, you know, making life easy or whatever? And that was the game.
And that was the game.
It's Peter Molyneux and Steve Jackson.
Yeah, that games guy.
Yeah, it makes car games now. He's your Munchkin guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
He was head of this team. It was kind of his project with Molyneux sort of just watching over everybody like a rich.
Well, Molyneux had the greatest anywhere. Okay, so let's talk about him for just a second. Peter Molyneux, over the years, has become known as a liar, liar, pants on fire. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit harsh to see him that way. I think he's one of those guys that gets really excited about an idea and can get a lot of people on board and makes really big promises. And then those promises are not attainable. So he ends up, but he still keeps selling it. He's always, you know, he keeps selling. He's kind of a salesperson, but he's kind of like also an idea guy, and you kind of want to hate him, but also, would things gotten pushed as far as they did if not for him? I don't know, because he really was the one that was pushing, you know, the no HUD interface on Black and White, which makes this game really unique in God games, because there's
then
really
or
no
since
interface.
Then or since it's, yeah, it's really since, yes. changed the way that stuff was. And a lot of games are still nervous to even go there. So it was really like this. I don't know. It had a sensibility of being a true sandbox, because you were just like, well, it's just my huge hand. This is it.
My hand. I drag the ground to move around. I pick up stuff. I can pick up my denizens, and I can, you know, I can play. So like other games, if you wanted to assign a citizen to to do something particular, like a specialist, you would assign it through a bunch of boxes and stuff.
Yeah, like you want a guy to chop down trees, let's say. Most of your city builders / god games would have click the guy, then a little menu would come up and say assign to this, or you would click on the tree and assign a person, and then you would choose that person, or you would do it more broadly by saying, I'm selecting a chunk of forest, and I would like four people to come do it, and then programmatically it just does it. But this game was more like, what if you just sort of gestured around and figured it out?
If you picked somebody up and you hovered your hand with this person squirming around in it, and you put them near a tree, and a little icon pops to their head that says tree, and then you put them there, and suddenly that's the only thing they do. And so it's kind of a little micromanaging, but for the most part, you don't need too many specialists for things because the city does a pretty good job. The AI in this game is pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's for a game from 2001. It's probably exceptional.
Oh yeah, hell yeah! And the thing is, by this time, Lionhead and Molyneux were deep in talks to work with Microsoft on Xbox games. They would bring out the Fable series not very long after this. So we were in the middle of Molyneux selling everything to everyone and a whole lot of people, including high ups at Microsoft with their brand new console, getting them excited about some pretty far-reaching promises, which even in the case of like Fable, he made all kinds of promises with that game that in some ways it equaled the promises, but there were a few where it was like, that didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
That never came to this game. And that's kind of his thing. Like even recently, that Goddess game, someone in the chat brought it up. G-O-D-U-S, that was like the latest, greatest from them. And it had a promising start. It was a return to this sort of stuff, like another God game type thing. And then it just petered out and it stopped being worked on. And now it's just kind of dead. And I don't know what happened to it. So I don't know. But Molyneux has always occupied this space of like half genius, half shyster.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to explain. Yes. Really, really weird.
It really is. It is. He always seems to push it across the finish line, but then we kind of all step back and go, well, that wasn't as good, but he gets still excited every time. He's really good at it because when Black and White was coming out, everybody was super excited about it. I mean, some of us as consumers being overly excited. So some of the hype wasn't all about Peter Molyneux making us get excited. You know, it wasn't making all those promises. Some of those promises we were making ourselves. He just wasn't correcting us. He was kind of like going, sure. If that's what you think about it.
It'll do that. Oh, can this read my mind and then make my character move based on your thoughts? Oh, yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah,
sure. That sounds good.
That sounds good. See you guys later. No questions. Like it was a lot of that.
No questions.
And Chad just reminded me they had that thing for during the 360 era called Project Milo. I completely forgot about this.
This is
Molyneux and Lionhead doing this project for the 360 that used the Kinect and all this stuff. But anyway, the idea was like a controller-free thing where the character on the screen, this kid named Milo, would like recognize what you were saying and doing and would respond. Actually, you could throw a ball and Milo would run and get the ball. You kind of treated the kid like a pet. It was weird. And that never happened. That never came out.
Big ideas gets everybody excited. Some proof of concepts happen. You can't do it. But you're never going to make it across the finish line gracefully. I guess the question never gets asked. Yeah, but is it going to be, not buggy? Is it going to run consistently? Because that's what dogged Black and White. We get to control creature here in Black and White. One of the most memorable parts of Black and White is the creatures you get to command, because you have a sphere of influence that as a god, you can interact with this land and the people on it. But to have a direct impact, you have a creature that you pick from three.
You have to capture it, right? Don't you have to capture it or something?
No, you have to go through a test. So Sable comes out and she's like the creature keeper. And so she guides you because you're a new god. You're a new god in this story. The people have called, they've prayed out. And so you're created and you come down and you're like trying to figure it out. And so Sable comes in and says, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to go collect these three stones around the area and then come back to me. And then we'll look at the different creatures. We got a cow and some orangutan ape monkey thing.
Big old ape.
And then like a tiger leopard ab ripping
unit
lion thing unit. So yeah. So you get to pick between those, and all those have impacts, because if you pick, they'll tell you when you're picking your characters, you know, some of them are faster learners, some of them I guess have other attributes. They don't really go into it. This is where kind of some of the hand waving and this hand wavy hand god thing is going. Mm-hmm. And there's my face coming out of the bottom of the junk.
Yep.
Black and white. And yes, yeah, so
listeners at home, I just put something up on screen. That's why Brian's referring to it. That's going to sound insane to anyone who's not seeing the video, but keep going. Continue.
But trust
on.
Me, I'm coming out of the butt of a creature.
Yep.
But I ended up picking a cow as my creature that I would have kind of to do things around the village while I'm busy. You basically train him to do miracles like you do, like providing wood, water, you know, healing, different things that the god is providing for your citizens. And you can kind of teach him to do some things, but he's also got his own alignment and agenda. So he will kind of do some bad things. And you've talked about it a couple of times, talking about the monkey that throws the poo.
Yeah, he's a poo thrower. I was 100% team monkey for this game.
Right.
And I used, I could care less about the cow or the wolf thing. And so I was all about the monkey. And the monkey had one particular ability, which was he could, or, you know, the others didn't seem to have. He would poop. Like a monkey, right. Like monkeys do. They just poo, you know, that's what they do. He would take a dump, and then he would sometimes, and often you had to be prompting him to do this, but he would sometimes pick up that poop and throw it at the villagers. So there's that.
Most of the AI work went in on the creatures because they had their own behavior patterns. And they would, and if you did not correct those behaviors, they would be reinforced. So, but if he did, let's say the creature picked up one of the citizens and ate them, which happened way too many times. All the time. So what you do is you have to slap them around. And man, I thought it was funny at first. I started slapping like, bap, bap, bap. I was like, stop doing that. Bap, bap, bap. And you do that by swiping the mouse, you know, left and right. And it just, your big giant hand smacking him. He's going, oh. And it's all funny, right? It's, you know, it's slapsticky. But then you start realizing, you're leaving purple marks all over his body.
Oh, yeah.
And those stay forever.
Yeah, they're bruised for the whole game. The entire game, you have bruises on your monkey or your cow or whatever it is.
If anybody learned something, I learned something from that, because I was like, you know, because I thought it was funny. So I just kept slapping him even more, even though the lesson had been learned. You know, there's a meter that reads up 100% up for when you're petting them, which you can do up and down, very gently up and down. And if you go side to side, it slaps them. And there's a bar that's like good boy, bad boy. And even after I got to 100% bad boy, I was still slapping him. But that's when the bruises started happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, now I'm feeling very bad. Can I do this on screen? Am I going to get banned from Twitch?
You're hurting the monkey, really. Yeah, right. You're hurting it. You're making this monkey or the cow or whatever you chose.
Yeah, yeah. I chose the cow, which is a mistake. Don't choose the cow. Always choose the monkey. You got to train these creatures, and the only one that has any intelligence and has the ability to learn is the monkey. The rest of them, you think throwing poo is bad. Wait till you get to a freaking cow or a freaking horse, which you can trade in for later.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. That is the thing in that game. You can go all horsey if you want to go horsey.
Yeah, there's like another, after you get to a certain point in world land one, you can, there's a hut that you can go to, and there's like some different creatures you can choose from. And I chose the horse, and he's very majestic. He's gorgeous.
Sure.
But he does have a habit of just going and sitting out in the water, like a cross leg style, and just, you know, doing his yoga poses and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good. Oh, you're showing the cow getting the lovin' right now.
Yeah, he's the so cow's getting the scratches, and he's into it. He doesn't have any udders, though, which I think is disappointing.
Which is utterly ridiculous, right?
Because it's not really a cow at that point. That'd be a bull, right? Cows are female, bulls are male, so what the hell?
And these are anthropomorphic. If you're trying to use your mind's eye to imagine what we're talking about, these are anthropomorphic. These are like what's furries. They're a bunch of furries is what they basically are, like a bunch of furries running around in your...
Kind of. They look like cosplay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could see somebody dressing as that tiger at a party or something, you know?
Yeah, that tiger, fine. Man, that tiger is ripped.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's got muscles big time.
I'm assuming he's really strong. And that's important because we haven't talked about the thing you're really doing here in Black and White. Sure, we're doing like populace and other god games where we're trying to trying to grow our village and we're trying to grow our influence through miracles and different things. And we're training our creature to help us in that quest. But the big overarching story here is that we are competing with other gods.
Yeah.
And so you have to train your creature to be able to fight. And the fighting is not good like random and like Pokemon good. You know what I mean? Where you're fighting like that is somewhere between, you know, you're actually in control and not really. You're clicking on spots on the screen or on the other character. It's kind of loosey-goosey. Not my favorite part of the game,
yeah.
The battle mechanic.
Yeah, I don't love that either.
It feels
tacked on and not fun. It's just not
no.
fun. Now, I understand why that seems like it'd be cool, though. Like,
right.
Hey, your giant creatures are going to fight.
Yeah,
that's fine. But is that the point of the game? Was never the point. That was never the point of the game.
It was kind of a mini game, and it felt like an afterthought, like you said, because 2001, we were starting to see games where we want to play multiplayer. And that is part of this game. You used to get good on servers or on the LAN, and you could play your friends, and the way you would interact, you're competing God. So you would fight your friends with your creature. And so there had to be a gaming mechanic that would allow you to do that. And it felt tacked on, didn't feel that great. It's
all right, but it was more, the more fun was found in, like, you know, you'd start, we haven't mentioned this, but you can choose like one of eight tribes, like Norse, Celtic, Japanese, like there's these different groups that you can choose that are familiar. And then they each have kind of a different wonder that you're trying to expose or, you know, have be a big deal in the game. And like you said, you can assign all your villagers to do stuff, and you do it with these gestures and these sort of drag the guy by the river. What's he going to do? Oh, he's probably going to fish. Okay, cool. And now he's a fisherman. They'll start families. If you destroy that temple,
yes,
you're screwed. The game ends. Yes. So you want
temples are very important. That's
right.
It's
almost like it's a win loss aspect of the game. Without the temple, you're dead. So you gotta keep your people happy. And if they riot, they can burn it. They can destroy it.
Yes.
Attacking armies can ruin it. Like, there's all kinds of reasons why you want to keep that temple up. So keep it up.
Another game that we love. But yeah. And breeders are fun because, once again, you grab some people. It's kind of disturbing. It's kind of got like a Sims vibe to it.
A little bit.
And, you know, it's when you pick up people, you can put them near the homes. And also kind of reminds me of what was that Fallout, that Fallout mobile game they had for a while where you'd put people in a room and you'd help them breed.
Fallout Shelter. Fallout Shelter. That's it.
Shelter. Yeah. Okay. That didn't seem right. But yeah, Fallout Shelter. So basically the same thing. You grab a random person, you put them over near a housing unit, and it'll have a little heart symbol above them. And you just put them down, and then they're breeders, and all of a sudden other dudes, little hobbits will come hopping along, and man, they'll just, it's all polyamorous. You know, it's like a whole bunch of just, you can see it through the walls because this is 2001. So you got character models poking half of their bodies outside of, you know, house walls and stuff. It's kind of disturbing. Really.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. It's to say the least.
It's worse.
To say the least, but the goal in general, right, of overall of these levels is to gain control over every villager in the town. You don't want ones rebelling. You don't want ones where they're not assigned to anything and being lazy. You just want to try to unify everybody, right? And they get bored. So if you're trying to impress them all the time, they'll get bored with you trying to impress them with shows of power. If you don't show them enough power, they won't respect you as their god. So there's like this balance, which is where I think the game shines. And the reason it's a classic is it does that stuff extremely well, and they delivered on that promise really well of feeling like you were directly affecting this and you had to temper your actions. Like, well, don't overdo it. And like you said, with the animal, even with the big animals, when you're slapping them around, that's a deterrent from being just a complete ass to your giant creature.
Yeah.
And so the game was great at that. The concept of black and white, yin and yang, light and dark, is very much part of everything that happens in the game, with the exception of the monster on monster crap. That was a kind of pointless, but
you can choose to be good or evil, and your hand will reflect that over time. And it can have an impact on how you take over rival gods' villages.
Yeah.
Because they usually respond better to violence. As a matter of fact, lots of times you just destroy another village and you replace them with your own people. And you know, so you get to do all that, but your creature also has an opinion of you. So if you go into the temple, which I really like, so instead of hitting like an F2 or some kind of function key and going out to your menu systems and looking at all this stuff, to maintain that immersion, you go inside this temple, and it's all very 3D looking related, because you basically spin around. You got these different rooms you can choose from to go to your options. You got your game saves, by the way, which didn't never work.
No.
And these user patches, we'll talk about that very shortly, kind of sort of fix that. But you can go to your creature room and you can see what the creature thinks about you, and what they need to learn, how they can learn it. But it's not overly descriptive. It's just like, you should let your, you know, you should let your creature watch the citizens fish. And you can do that by taking your creature, and you have a leash. You got three leashes. You got one this of learning, and that's the one I use the most. There's one of, is it called, it's basically the bad leash. He does bad things if you put this leash on him. And then there's the nice rainbow colory cozy one that I like to keep on him too, which where he'll do nice and kind things.
Right.
So man, it is so many layers deep, but it looks so simple on the surface.
Well, they used a thing that's based on a real behavioral study thing called reinforcement learning systems, and right. They used that in the game. That's like a real thing you do with like kids or training dogs. Yes. Or you know, there's different applications of it, and they use that as the basis for it, and it was kind of scientifically sound by at least simple standards, you know, because yeah. It's just a yeah. game. Well, that's, you know, it's yeah, cool.
We just wanted theory. That's all we really need to mm-hmm. make a game, a yeah. good theory.
Yeah, it's pretty rad, I thought.
It doesn't have to be realistic. But man, did you happen to get the sea shanty? One of the things that always excites people. I meant to send you the thing earlier.
There's a song. I want to find this.
Oh
now.
My God. The song is the, if you've never heard the song, is the most amazing thing. When you're first starting out, after you do a few things, they tell you to go to the beach, and there's a group of guys on the beach, and they're building a boat, and you got to supply them with wood and grain and some, you know, some meat so they can go along. But they make all their requests, as these citizens do. They're very whiny, very needy. And these do it in a very creative way, which is where they sing you a song.
I found it. You want to hear it?
I'm going to play it. Give me the stuff. Yes.
This notion that we quite like to sail the ocean, so we're building a big boat to leave here for good. We're not keen on sinking, so we're all sitting here thinking, cause we built it too big and we've run out of wood.
So they got all kinds of weird shit like in there.
Oh,
like, here they are singing.
There's that kind of singing stuff, by the way. That was definitely a group of Lion's Head employees just coming up with some shit on the fly.
100%, dude. 100%. Those guys are like, hey, before everyone goes to lunch, can we meet in the conference room? Yeah. Bring the mic while you're in yeah. there. And does someone yeah. have a freaking accordion? Okay, cool. Let's make this song.
Let's get on it. We're about to make a part of our game. It's going to be great.
I kind of miss that about early devs. They would use their own voice work, yeah. you know, even like Warcraft, Starcraft even. Most of the voices in those games were coming out of people in the office. I love that.
Yes.
Look, there's a whole business around voice actors. I'm not saying that should go away, but I am saying there was something raw about just the ground level, like, get what's her name from accounting. She has a good voice. Let's go. Yes. I love that.
We just did it because that wasn't what you thought of when you made games. When you thought of making games in this time period, you were usually smaller groups of people. And most of the people on the payroll were people who were really good at programming, making graphics, and you know, getting the basics down. But then when you go, oh, I want to do a little more immersion or a little more theatrical part here,
yeah.
Then that's when you couldn't just go, hey, can we carve out a little bit of budget to go get some name actors? No, you cannot.
You
may record this yourself and. I'm almost positive all the characters are wrapped in, you know, scans of people's faces from the office. I'm almost absolutely 100% sure everybody you see is just some employee from that time.
Well, that's the reason. Now, people are always like, how come Metzen's in so many of those early Blizzard games? It's because that's what they did. So when you hear Thrall talk and you go, that's Chris Metzen's, because back then that's what you did. And it stuck. They still use him for it. And he has a great voice. But it wasn't because... they didn't go, you know, we could get a real big actor in here, but you know what, let's do instead. Yeah. Let's go down the hall and get Chris to do it. No, they did it because it was cheap. And even StarCraft II, and he's the, not Carrier has arrived. What's the big ship the Terrans fly?
Someone in the chat room will know.
Operational, that thing. Anyway, he does that. He does a whole ton of those. And it's because, oh, he's got a booming voice. He already works here. We don't have to pay anybody. Let's go. You know, and that's how they did games back then. And I kind of miss that a little bit. I mean, you see it in indies here and there. Indies will do it, but old school. Oh, Battle Cruiser has arrived or has
Battle Cruiser
operational. That was Metzen. Anyway, one other thing I like about this game is it had a mode or an ability to import actual weather into the game. So this was weird, though, because I remember trying to do it and it was a pain in the ass. We were not like all internet connected so much as it was. Like it was, if I remember this right, it wasn't pulling from a weather service. Maybe for some people they could do that, but for me, I didn't have the option. It wasn't pulling from some weather service like you might do today. Instead, it was, you would have to go to a certain, I don't know if it was weather.com or somewhere, I don't remember what it was, but you would download some kind of raw, almost XML-like data of the day's weather, import it into the game, and then the game would be like all snowy if we were having snow that day, or you'd have rain at 4 because it said there's expecting to be rain at 4. I remember thinking that was some magical shit.
That is some magical shit. And this was a time when we were doing all this CD copy protection. Yeah. And one of the benefits of this is if you had to register this game. You didn't have to register it, but if you wanted to do the weather stuff,
you had to register. Then,
That was their little reward for you. It's like, okay, come on.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Come on, stop swapping this with your friends and just get your weather data right here.
The problem the biggest mistake I did with the game, or the biggest problem I had with the game, is it was so open-ended that when you give me that much open-endedness, I kind of just screw around. So I would not really stick to the plan. I would do a lot of like, well, let's see, if I throw this rock hard enough and it hits a bunch of villagers all chilling out by the fire, what's the ramifications of such an action? And I'm sure that they wanted us to experiment that way. That's the point of the game. But I would get way off goal and do stuff I'm not supposed to, and then end up dying or the temple get destroyed because I set off a chain of events that created all kinds of chaos. But to me, that was that game. And I'm sure there are people that really adhered to the goals and really adhered to trying to get to the perfect ending and all that other stuff. I didn't. I was just like, how much poo can I throw? How much weather can be bad? How pissed off can I make this villager? How far can I throw him into the ocean? You know? Yes. Look at that guy down there fishing. Let's grab the fisherman and throw him 60 miles off the northern coast. That's what I was up to.
But that's what we wanted to play. That's what we realized we wanted. But the game forced you to ride the ride. And there was so many things happening in that first land alone and things I wanted to explore. But the game kept pressuring me and pushing me to complete the mainline quest, because you had gold scrolls and you have silver scrolls, where the gold scrolls are the main quest and then the side quest or just anything, maybe some villagers, maybe somebody got lost in the woods, or maybe there's a creepy guy outside the village just kidnapping all the kids and you gotta deal with that. But I'm with you. I was more like, I want this to be more cozy. I want it to allow me to just sit back, relax, sandbox the crap out of this thing. And as I was playing it, I was like, man, this game, if it could have went a little bit longer and they could have found a way to have this procedurally generated worlds that just got bigger and bigger and just allowed you just to do, you know, just to do your weird influence thing that you were doing just in a larger scale. It felt really small to be a god game. But they addressed a few of those things in the next release, which was the Black and White Creatures Isle expansion pack.
Right, I remember that now. That was a how did I feel about it at the time? I think I kind of didn't like it.
It was released the next year.
Yeah.
It kind of went it realized it went to its strengths, which was people loved messing around with the creatures. They did not like having to fight the rival gods. That was an interesting storyline to push through in the first one, so they got rid of the rival god stuff. Instead, you're dealing mostly with creatures and the village, and a lot of the tedious stuff is gone, and your creature even gets a creature in this one. So this probably would have fulfilled what you were missing or didn't care for as much in that first one to expand on this black and white game.
For sure. The multiplayer was interesting too, because that's where I think the creature stuff maybe got a little more interesting.
Yes.
Because you were playing against another human, and we did that on our LAN at my office, and I remember it being okay. Like, it was okay.
Yeah.
There were other things we'd rather play. Like, I would rather fire up Unreal Tournament or Counter-Strike or something else, Doom 2.
Yeah, the multiplayer was interesting, but, you know, the battle was never that great. Really, it's basically raising creatures. I mean, this is a pocket monster, right? You might as well. That's what the game really was excelling at, that it never recognized and said, oh, you know what's cool? Messing with this creature, giving him some influence, and then just seeing what he does.
Right.
Because that's where this game really shines.
Yeah. It was more like a sandbox of, like, what happens if I do this? And I love games still to this day that let me screw around like that. There's a game called, I forgot the name of it. It's something with an N.
Game.
It's short named N-word. It's not the N-word. it's an N-word.
Right.
Niles or
Noonie,
something like that. Anyway, it's basically fully destructible environments, crazy weapons that, like, melt the ceiling and to pump water into things. And basically the whole goal of that is to traverse around. It's a roguelike, but the goal is to try not to get yourself killed by using all these crazy contraptions. Someone in the chat's going to know this name. Right. And it is so much fun just trying to, well, survive, but also just saying, I wonder if I blew that stalactite off the roof.
Yes.
What would it do? Would it kill the enemies below? Will it create a new hole and a problem for me? Will it explode and shatter all over me? Like, I don't know until I try. And that's black and white to me is, I don't know until I try the video game.
Yes.
And I loved it for that.
Yeah. Even though, like the first one, you had the shoulder angels or devil, and they kind of guided you along. And, you know, they would toss a little bit. The voice acting is just hilarious on both those guys. Also, the devil guy and his saggy polygonal boobs are hilarious. And he's also wearing some kind of thong. Anyway, it's really disturbing. But having those guys kind of on your shoulders throughout that first whole area until you get to the second land, then you start talking to other gods and stuff. Then it gets a little more open worldy and lets you kind of do what you want to.
Yeah.
I like to do the same thing. I like to experiment. It's like, what if I throw fireballs over this? What if I shake the fireball in front of these people's faces? What if I pick up my villagers and I shake them around a little bit, and then I put them all in a big circle, see if they'll dance.
Yeah. What if I put one in? What if I toss one in the volcano? Will they see it as a sacrifice and a good thing to do, or they see it as a horrible, awful, we need to rebel against our God problem?
Yeah.
Like,
by the way,
that's fun.
There's something that I love about this game that I didn't realize at first. And when your villagers start dying, you can bring us some stats and see, it'll tell you what the characters are doing. You don't have to have that on, but I like turn on occasionally just to see some stats.
I like stats.
And, you know, they'll be walking around. They're like, oh, they're mourning someone who just died. And that's when you realize that there is this voice, this like following you all over the place. And it's like, what the hell is going on? And so that's what's happening. Whenever there's people dying in your village, you'll get that. So it's like, oh, so then you go back. I found that one way to increase your ability to perform miracles. I don't know if we talked much about the miracles yet. Miracles are gestures you make. So, or you can actually.
They're patterns, right? It's like a circle and a slash or a triangle.
Yeah, you do a little spiral, and it'll allow you to bring up the options for miracles. You know how to create like zigzags, and you can do like make wood from thin air. It impresses the locals, whatever. I'm just doing my God thing. Just doing my God thing, man. Just, you know, making some gestures. So one way you power that, though, is when you're in your temple, you can add on to your temple, and there's a place where your villagers all come in and they celebrate you and worship you, and you can make them do it too. You can pull up the tower and go, come worship me. Do it. Yeah. But when they do that, it gives you the power to do all these miracles and things. And one thing that really amps it up quickly is sacrifice.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a double-edged sword, though. You know, if you throw some human sacrifices in there, you may get a negative response. But if you pick up death, if you pick up the people who are already dead, you can throw it on there and you still get some bonus from there. And if you teach your creature how to pick up the dead bodies,
teach your creature
even better. Yeah, teach your creature. So mm-hmm. then your creature just runs around and he picks up dead bodies when they die. You're death, and you look around. The creature is picking them up. And he's taking them to sacrifice them. Next thing you know, you got full gesture motions, and you're making you're doing the miracles, and you're winning.
You're winning.
Black and white. You're winning black and white.
Hootie 42 in the chat, who never goes to lunch. I don't know what his deal is. Just can't figure it out. That's not true. He and I are always trying to schedule lunch and it never seems to work. But anyway, he mentioned there was a patch later on in the history of that game that was trying to fix a bunch of end game issues. One of them was game breaking, but also they removed that death sound at the end. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Didn't know
that. They've done that. There's several patches. There's two or three official patches that came down the pipe. But then now, if you're wanting to play black and white in 2024, and I found out while I was streaming this a lot this week, a lot of people have held on to their boxes for black and white because it's a beautiful box.
It's huge.
And so it's huge. And so when a lot of people were getting rid of their games and stuff, they just couldn't quite let go of that black and white.
I wish I would have kept mine, dude. I really do. Because you're not wrong. And they're talking in the chat about it. These things were almost like collector's edition sized boxes. It's how PC games used to be anyway. They were big. Like cereal box size boxes, kind of.
Yeah.
I miss that so much. I mean, I know that's a waste of money. I know it's like all kinds of good reasons why they don't do it anymore. I get it. But but those were the cool days, man.
Oh my God. Walking down an aisle at Fry's looking at all these giant boxes.
So much shelf space, too.
I think you
can blame consoles because consoles came along and said, hey, look at these tight little discs and they're in these little things and you just slot them in. And those have gotten smaller over time and they've kind of stayed the same since, like, I want to say PS3, 360 era. They haven't gotten much bigger or smaller.
No.
But they were these little things, even the Switch games are about that same thickness or taller, but you know, whatever.
Right.
Now that's how those are. And I feel like that forced the PC game world to go, it's a lot of shelf space that is a premium and we're taking up too much of it with a giant black and white box, you know?
Yeah. Most of the boxes were practically empty anyway. I mean, it was just a bunch of air space, but it was impressive. And, but anyway, a lot of people have held on to those. So if you have your CD, if not, there's ways to look for archives of black and white ISO files.
The archive.org method.
Right. So if you do that, and then there's just look up community patch or fan-made patch for black and white, you'll find it. Yep. There's a whole community who has created a patch that allows you to install these on Windows 7. Just kidding. But you can put it on Windows 7 if you want to. But you can install it on 10 and 11. I installed it on 7, by the way.
Why'd you say 7? Why?
Because I did that. Because I did that foolishly this week. I was like, I wanted to get a more authentic experience. I said, I can use the fan patch. Or I can go old school because I know that this game was released about the time XP was around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Windows 7 is pretty solid at emulating Windows XP. It's one of the best. It's one of the best OSs for if you're wanting to do Windows XP. Windows XP is a hard system to emulate and virtualize.
7 was great in general. 7 was a solid effort. I liked it.
Virtualization, most of virtualization doesn't want to do XP. They don't support it. Most emulation pushes right up to when CPUs were doing things that were capable of running XP, but not really well. So virtualization versus emulation. And so Windows XP has kind of fell straight through the crack between those two. Yeah. So 7 is a good place to go with virtualization.
Oh, man, XP was such a security nightmare, though. So bad.
Yeah. XP, that was a big thing. That's when we changed everything. Windows XP just... It was like, we got to do better. And that's when we went all server model.
It was like swapping or swatting flies. I worked at a company where I was sort of in charge of our network. And even though I wasn't trained to do so, I knew it. I knew enough to do it. And they were all XP boxes. And every day, some new malware, some new something was on somebody's computer. And oftentimes it was coming from disks they brought from home and stuff. It was so stupid.
Yes. XP was horrible. And they kept on trying to go past XP. And they finally said, wait, we need to get rid of this whole branch needs to be cut off. And that's when we did it. We cut off that whole thing that was branching out from what Windows XP was. And we said, nope.
Went with the NT model.
We've got a much more unified operating Windows system.
It was really important they did that. And also ME was a nightmare as well. So they had that. Yeah. They had a rush to just get away from all of it. And I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah.
Now let's talk. Let's jump to the year 2002. Not 2002. Sorry, that's the expansion. Let's jump to 2005. This is a year where, much to my surprise, there was an actual sequel for Black and White called Black and White 2. Yeah. We are now 19 years old on that game.
Yeah. And as a result, by law, I'm not allowed to pass out of any area. My sphere of influence does not go beyond 20 years. So if it's younger than 20 years, I can't cross it. So I didn't play Black and White 2.
I didn't either for this show, but I did play it back then. And I thought it was very good.
Yes.
They decided to lean more into some city building aspects, and they added like an actual UX, like a, well, you can see it on this video, this lower bar down here.
Remember, no Peter Molyneux at this point.
No, he's gone. He has stormed out of there by now. Yeah. Him and a couple of the founders all had a big tizzy and they all bolted. and then years later, the whole thing was shut down. But yeah, Molyneux's out of there. They're over at 99 Cans or whatever it is. What was the name of their new place?
What was the name of that place? You're right.
99.
I can't remember.
Oh, hold on.
All I know is that Microsoft now owns the White and Black. They own everything except for the publishing, which EA still owns. So that's why we haven't seen anything from Black and White.
Right.
The franchise.
He's 64 now, this guy.
This guy. Look at him being 64. Look at him.
He was with 22 Cans. That's what it was. He left and started 22 Cans, which made the Goddess game and then never finished it. That was a real piss poor showing for a new company.
Yeah.
You can't even buy it on the store. It's on Steam still as early access. It never got finished.
Right. Never got finished.
It's freaking, what are they doing? And it's supposed
to, and if you listen to some of the people in the community, Red Fry, it is even weirder than Black and White. And I'm like, not possible.
It's pretty weird. It's pretty weird. I played it.
I think the graphics in Black and White 1 are so creepy. I don't know how you could make it without using anything weirder than that. I just don't see how you could.
Yeah. Well, what's weird about it is just that we were excited. It was like the rebirth of Molyneux. We were like, whoa, this guy, this is his new thing. And he ends up just petered out, man. Literally. Thanks, Peter, for petering out.
Peter.
Two's all right. Two had this going for it. Let me see if I can find the clip here. I got a little sound.
This is the beginning. The birth of a god.
Of a god, yeah.
Called by one pure breath.
Biggest problem is sound mixing back then was not great. Yeah. It's like the voice is too quiet. The music is too loud. Anyway, it was pretty cool and had a lot of neat ideas. I did like make the city building part of it interesting. I liked that.
Yes.
And it was less random and stuff. But overall, I don't think they really captured what the magic of what the first one brought.
Yeah, they went back conservative. They went back to, like you said, city building, and that wasn't where Black and White wanted to grow to, right? It wanted to be this weird immersive thing that, too bad VR wasn't around, because I think it really would shine there.
Yeah, but the creatures, like the wolf, it's a wolf this time, by the way, one of them.
Yeah.
Is a way more, it's got a bunch of hair. I mean, graphically, this is a huge improvement. This is a much more modern game. 4 years of, you know, it's amazing. I've been thinking about this because of all of our Unreal stuff, which we have a big update about in a minute. But thinking about 99 through about 2004, massive leaps in 3D rendering tech.
Yes.
Massive.
Yes.
Like it's a
huge,
really compressed time of leaps and bounds that you kind of forgot about that. You sort of forget how massive it was. It was huge.
It really set us up for disappointment later on, because I remember there was a time that every time a new system would come out, it was like night and day. It's like, there's no question. Are you upgrading? Yeah,
of course. You are.
I mean, I have to, because look at the leap we just took.
Yeah.
But now we're spoiled by that. And it's like when I went from the PS4 to the PS5, I'm like, all right.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, PS4 to PS5 is not the big leap. We are definitely crescendoing at the top of the curve. Back in those days, and even before that, like I'm saying, like Unreal Engine 1 compared to 2, which was only a couple of years later.
Like, it's very short amount of time later. Night and day. A massive improvement. You and I have been playing 99 and 2004. The differences between, and 03 technically is the same engine as 04. Right. So we're really only looking at a year or something, year and a half. The jumps are enormous, right?
Huge.
And they're huge every time they do it. So back then, I mean, I'm loving revisiting it because I don't remember it being so compressed. I remember it being more spread out.
I don't either.
But I was always like,
it's been a long time since I went to a place like Walmart or something who has a kiosk or something or GameStop and went, oh, this is the new game system. Oh, hot damn.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, cool.
I mean, part of that might just be our age compatible? And how we view things being older or whatever. But
right.
When I was younger, everything seemed like just 1,000 times better every time there was a new update. And I don't know. Yeah. But we're hitting the long trail, and that's fine. That's good, actually. Yeah. It means that we've got our heads around it. We understand the tech better than ever. People in their basement with just themselves and some time to spare can make a game and be amazing at it. Like, I love that we've gotten here. It's just, I do kind of miss that crazy, like, have you seen Unreal Engine 2? Holy shit, you wouldn't believe it. Have you seen 3? Right? And 5, don't get me wrong, 5 is incredibly impressive. Like, it's insane what Unreal Engine 5 is, and 5.2, wherever we're at. It's incredible. Who knows what 6 will look like? But my guess is 5 and 6 will look a lot more like each other than 1 and 2 did, or 2 and 3 did.
Yeah. I mean, just take the Atari 2600. When did that come out?
Like, right?
And then jump. It's like, what? I mean, when we really put our hands on it, I guess it was 1977 when the Atari 2600 first came out. But you know, I probably didn't get my hands on it until like about the 80s. And then if you jump to like, 20 years, holy shit. Mm-hmm. But then if you go 20 more years from that point, you're like, okay. I see how you got there.
I wonder how large, I always like to do this. Like you say, how much disk space. How many kilobytes is Pac-Man? Right. I want to know how much.
Oh, my God.
Like, how big is Pac-Man? It's like, I don't know, 12K.
Is it bytes or kilobytes?
It's probably even bytes, right? It's probably not even kilobytes. Right. Whatever that is, and then you figure out, you do the math, and you say, you take something even from 2005. Let's take Lionhead Studios Black and White 2. How big is that? Now, divide that by how big Pac-Man is. Like, when you start looking at just the math of how much space a thing takes.
Right.
And what we expected then versus what we expect now, like, it's bananas.
24 kilobytes for the Pac-Man.
24 kilobytes? That's
but
as big
that's
as
the arcade. That's the arcade. Let's see.
Well, arcade's fine. That's still fine because kilobytes is nothing. Yeah, yeah. That's tiny.
128 bytes of RAM. So that's how you load it in there. So.
So at any given time, it was pushing that much RAM. Now you push. I don't know. Some games can push a pipe of 32 gigabytes of RAM per second.
Right.
Like, what are we even doing? Who even are we? What are we?
Suck it. Suck it, distant past.
Yeah, take that, distant past.
You couldn't do nothing.
You couldn't do shit.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
All right, now we can do some shit. We're going to get right into this.
Destroy it.
We're going to play a game called Guess My Game. We take an old game, some audio from it. We tell each other about it a little bit, and then we try to guess what it is. We have 3 questions each to try to get the right answer. And if we don't do it well, we lose. And if we get it right, well, then we win. If you win, you hear. Nope, that's lose. If you lose, you hear. And if you win, you hear.
Why do they have to walk that fast?
Not that. That isn't it.
Oh, I love it.
That's not it. I don't know. I don't know what we'll play.
I love it.
Sorry.
I love that you have Nights and Dreams is your, and it's the Christmas one at that. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Why did they have to walk so fast?
I don't like steam.
Yeah, exactly.
Terrible.
All right, Brian, I'm going to describe mine, then you're going to try to guess it. Here it is. The platform is the arcade.
Oh, Arcadia. I gotcha.
That's right. The year is 1979. I'm going way back. All right. You should remember this, though, because I saw it everywhere growing up.
That is a really old game. Yeah. Okay. So is it okay? So give me 1979 arcade game.
That's right. And it's a shoot 'em up. That's your genre.
Shmup.
Sorta. Don't think shmup like shmup though. Think of it as like you shoot shit. You know, like
don't think
because you know, like in you know how in Space Invaders you shoot things. Think more like
right.
That. More like that. Okay.
Okay.
Published by of all companies, Nintendo. All right.
Nintendo.
So this is an arcade game from Nintendo published by them anyway, back in 1979. Here is your audio. Whoops, that's you. Here we go.
Holy shit, I scared the crap out of me.
It's pretty loud. Some of these are such high frequency, I forget how loud they are.
Okay, all right.
Any idea? Oh, listen to this part. This is important. If you hear this, this might ring a bell. Hold on 1 second. Here we go.
I got a power up.
This is so burned into me.
Yes, I feel like I got a power up here.
Anyway, thoughts, feelings, guesses,
so
questions?
There's okay. So there's a guess, but this is going to be a weird way to guess it. Okay, so this very much sounds like Donkey Kong. It's got the same hardware sounds as Donkey Kong. Now, remember on the Donkey Kong episode that Donkey Kong was actually a modified version of something they sold the shit out of in the U.S. Or they planned on selling the shit out of, and then they had to, like, redo it.
Interesting.
So they had a whole bunch of these things in stock.
Yeah.
I sort of kind of remember that. And I remember it being kind of a shooter game. Was it kind of like was it vector based? What kind of looking vector-ish?
That's a really great question. I don't actually know. To me it was sort of
I'm sure it wouldn't be totally vector because that's not what Donkey Kong's made out of, but it looked kind of like that they were working on pixel stuff and I don't think they were doing pixel zooming yet. That was later on. But
you
is
know
there
what
kind
I'm,
of a
I'm looking at it now.
You're...
It is kind of pixely. Well, if Space Invaders was pixely, then so is this, sure.
Okay. All right. Is it a vertical type screen where everything on screen is kind of shooting vertically up?
It is a vertical screen, but it's more square than vertical.
Okay.
We hadn't quite locked in on that pure vertical, right. like Joust vertical. It's not like that, but it's more square. It's definitely not wide. It's more square.
Right. That's not probably the game I'm thinking of, but this definitely sounds like a Donkey Kong machine. But that might just be Nintendo. That just might be the board they used.
I think it is the same. If I had to guess, it's the same board because it does sound like it, and I feel like there's some similarities. And by the way, you are that is two questions. You have one left.
Two questions? Okay, got one more. Nintendo 1979, you said?
Yep.
Arcade.
79.
Published. Did they also do the development? Did they do the development as well?
That is a good question. It is... Yes, published and developed by Nintendo.
Okay.
I didn't check the chat. Let's see if they've got it.
Right.
So far, nothing. Although Mario Lifter is pretty funny, Captain Kipper. Nice one. Mario Lifter.
Mario Lifter, that's good. That's good.
Good.
I'm going to go with Space Monkey.
Let's find out if it's Space Monkey. Is it Space Monkey?
Space Monkey from 1979.
Incorrect.
Out of a butthole.
The answer is Sheriff. Sheriff.
That's it.
Do you remember Sheriff? It was this weird. You had eight-way shooting.
Talked about that one.
You can shoot. It's basically like what if Space Invaders was you being surrounded in a square by a bunch of Space Invaders. In this case, they're bad guys in the Western, and you're a cowboy sharpshooter guy in the middle.
This is Miyamoto's first gig, right? Wasn't this his first
game? I don't know if this was his or not. It might have been.
Yeah, I think this was his first game. I'm not sure what he did but on this, but this I think this is the first game he worked on at Nintendo, if I'm not mistaken.
And the more of these bad guys you shoot, the faster they circle around, or not circle, but run around your square. Right. They can shoot, and so can you, through the barriers of the side of the thing. And then when they get in through the corners, they rush in, and now you got to fight the close guys. They have very slow bullets. You got to dodge those. It gets harder and harder, as you might imagine. It's actually really fun, and I remember playing the living hell out of this on an arcade machine. Just loving
this
game. Yeah, it was so good. So, Sheriff, 1979. Check it out if you haven't. Oh, yeah, and there's this little cutscene where your girlfriend's getting chased by one of the bad guys. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real simple graphics, but there's something very charming about them, and I love it. So there you go. That's mine. Brian, let's try yours. Tell me what I'm looking at here.
Sure. So I'd like you to fast forward about 11 years. Nintendo is our topic again, because this time the platform is the NES. The year is 1990. The genre is video board game, published by our friends over at LJN. And this was suggested by Ethereal Vision in the community. So thank you for suggesting this one.
All right, here we go. Kind of does slap. Okay. Is it a board game I would recognize being converted to digital? Meaning, is it like a Monopoly or something that's converted to be a TV game?
Yes, this is a well-known, popular home game. Correct. Board game.
Damn, what is this?
Don't recognize this classic board game music?
Is it? This is so familiar to me. What year did you say? 90?
1990.
Video board game published by LJN.
Yes.
LJN. Okay. Who based is, on a popular, right. like a game that I would know from.
Yeah, you have, you would have this, you would probably definitely have this in your board game collection. I'm not saying you did.
Yeah.
I'm just saying this isn't a lot of people's board game collection.
Okay. Can I ask, here's my next question. So I've got one, here's two. Is it based on a, I don't know who makes that though. I was gonna say,
so it wouldn't matter anyway.
Yeah, I guess I just realized I don't actually know who makes that.
I can tell you I can tell you though if you would like to know. That could be one of your questions.
All right, is it Milton Bradley or the other guys? Parker
My
Brothers.
My understanding has always been a Mattel jam. Now, I'm not saying somebody's going to say, well, technically, Brian, it was actually owned by so-and-so, but during this year or that year. But currently, as far as my best of my knowledge, it's a Mattel game.
Okay. Damn, dude. This music doesn't sound right, but it's not Stratego, right?
No, it's not, but that's a good question.
Well, that was the end. That was my
third one.
That was my third one. So now I got to guess. I'm just going to. I'm going to guess the Game of Life.
Game of Life. Great guess. You're getting married, you got kids, and you're going around the board.
Yep.
And suddenly you owe taxes, right?
Yep. Nope.
It's Pictionary.
Pictionary? Oh, what? They made a Pictionary game for the... Yep, how would you draw with the controllers, the D-pad?
I don't know, but would it have made any difference if I had said Hasbro? I don't know if, like I said,
I wouldn't have got it.
Had it from... Yeah, I didn't think so.
I wouldn't have had that. So hold on. NES, Pictionary.
And it's got an amazing soundtrack to it. If you just look up NES Pictionary soundtrack, it's awesome.
I don't even know what to say about this. This is not a thing on my radar. There's something really familiar about the sound of that, but I couldn't place it. Maybe I played it and don't remember, but I was a big Pictionary nerd back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you draw? D-pad? Let's see.
You can draw however you want to, D-pad.
Wait, this isn't Pictionary. Yeah, it is. What is this?
Wait a minute. This is not Pictionary.
It says Pictionary. NES Long Play Pictionary. I mean, it is revealing a drawing over there.
I mean, right. I didn't draw it, though.
This game must have been... This must be like reveal...
Right, it's reveal stuff, yeah. So it's not like... It's more like the TV show Pictionary, I guess, than other than the board game, even though they listed it as a board game.
Because it is definitely Pictionary. You choose a paint roller, a pen, a spray can as your character.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It looks like it's... It's more of a... They drew it.
You play mini games, like action mini games that reveal blocks on a screen until you can, guess the picture.
Yeah, but when you guess it, how are you prompting the game to know that you guessed it?
Right.
To say, oh, good job, you got it, or something.
Right.
I don't know. I need to play it. This is wild.
Oh, you spell it. Oh, you have to spell it out.
You do?
So
you
there's like a little, there's a little wheel down at the bottom of alphabets, and you roll these little shoes over each of the letters, and you spell out what it is.
Okay, I'm legit curious about this game. This is wild.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild. All right. Well done, dude. That's a good one. That was a banger.
Yeah, thank you to Ethereal Vision for that recommendation. I was not familiar with this, and I really dug the music. So thank you for that.
We all got a big fat on our guesses today. It's okay, though.
Mm-hmm.
Now these.
Welcome to the treasure room.
I see. At the end, there's a timer, and then you go...
Yeah,
and you
have to roll a
cycle
guess
through it, and so if you get it faster than somebody else got it and get it correct, I don't know, that's wild, weird trying to gamify something like that where you don't actually draw it. All right, let's get to some listener feedback. We got an email to start with here. Oh, this might actually be a text. I don't remember. Either way, send us your emails to playretroshow@gmail.com or send your texts to 801-471-0462. Here's the text from a person. Doesn't have the name. Hi, Play Retro. Oh, no, yeah, he does. My name is Sam.
Hello,
from
citizen.
Canada. He's from Canada, so that's cool.
Canada.
Let's do this for him since he's from Canada. Where is it? Here it is. Nope. Come on, Scott.
Canada!
There it is. This is from Canada. Here's what he says. I got to get back to the right tab. Here we go. Hello, Play Retro. My name is Sam from Canada. I'm just messaging you guys because I discovered your podcast about 3 months ago, and I really love it. Well, thank you. I'm trying to catch up to the current episodes, and I'm currently only at episode 60. Anyway, Scott keeps mentioning Advance Wars, but as far as I can see, looking at the episode names, you still have not done it. That is true. We haven't.
True story. We promised.
Says, I'm a huge fan of Nintendo Wars series and would love for you guys to cover at least the main ones, being Advance Wars and Battalion Wars. But knowing Brian, there are probably also some fun to be had with Famicom Wars and Game Boy Wars. Anyways, thanks for the reading and hope that you review them both. P.S. Best one of the Advance Wars games is Days of Ruin, Dark Conflict in the EU. Yeah, a lot of people think that. I'd love to do Advance Wars, dude.
Totally. We need to do it. We've talked about it. Did they ever release the new one on...
They did, finally. Happened last year.
Yeah. That was our whole plan. It was like, was going to coincide, and it got delayed for some reason. And then we got distracted.
It got delayed because of the Ukraine thing.
Yes.
And then Nintendo was just quiet about the final. They finally did it, but they just weren't very loud about it. They were just like,
well, no, they weren't.
It's out. Anyway, working on other stuff. You know, like they just kind of like didn't make a big deal out of it. But by all accounts, it's real strong and real good. And I meant to pick it up. I kind of need a new Switch, though. I'm kind of done with my current Switch.
Mine is either first or second generation full size Switch. So I mean, it is well overdue. I probably need the OLED upgrade, but I'm like, do I really want to do the OLED upgrade? When are they going to release the Switch 2? They keep talking
about
it.
Want.
Have they done it yet?
That's what I want right there. Well, they don't talk about it. We do, but they don't.
Yeah.
And they need to hurry. 2017 is a while ago now. Come on, new console.
Oh,
Let's go.
So long ago.
But anyway, to that point, we will do that game. I promise. That series. It's that good. And there's so many games that do really good jobs of basing themselves on that. There's a couple of Steam games that I love that are a lot like Advance Wars. And, I'm a huge fan of those. Dyed in the wool. I love them. In fact, you know what? Let Ambernick comes in. That's the first game I'm going to play on there again.
You're going to be the first thing you're going to do. Suck it.
Take that, Pud Monkeys. Anyway. Here's a text from Alan, who wrote in, says, Spy versus Spy, my Commodore 64. I am sure I wore that floppy out. I often listen to Play Retro on my way to D&D. that I still play with some guys that I started with back as in the 80s as a kid. That's awesome. Listening or listing to you two talk about old games. You put listing. And then playing D&D make for a nostalgic trip of an evening. Thank you, Alan, he says. Well, Alan, that's awesome. First of all, second of all, Spy versus Spy. We didn't do the episode on that, did we? Yet?
No, we didn't. We discussed it, but we haven't actually done the episode.
We should do that. Yeah, it deserves it.
We should totally do that.
And I can go off on my Mad Magazine years. I have some old shit. I could pull out some old like 60s or 70s and 80s issues of Mad Magazine and hold them up on camera. I get so much.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah. So we should make a big deal out of that. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
That's coming up at some point. Now, everything you've all been waiting for.
Ludicrous kill. Holy shit.
That's right. We got the Unreal Report. As you know, we've got this UT99 server. It's been running. We've been filling it with people, having a blast. You want to hear the top 10 players this week, everybody at home, do you? Well,
and it's a much bigger list this week because we have had over 100 unique players who've hopped on the UT99 server over the past week, and that's password protected and only word of mouth. So that's pretty freaking impressive. So these top 10 people are not just top 10 people. They're pretty darn good.
Yeah, they're pretty freaking good. Here are some names that if you've been playing on there, you'll recognize some of these dominators. At number one, Surge. He's currently killing everybody. Number two, Flap Jackson. He dealt all kinds of problems for me the other night.
He's been slapping me.
Yeah, real poo-poo head. Denier, also incredible, Denier. So good. Just dominates the games I'm in with him. Spaghetti Syntax at number four. He doesn't just make games. He dominates them.
He does.
At number five, yours truly, Frog Pants, right there in the middle of the pack. I am trying to get higher, and I will. But I'm
doing pretty
okay.
Good though. Just build the pack of the top 10. That's still pretty impressive.
Still pretty good. Then we got number six, Adhesive Wombat. Number seven, our very own Brian Dunaway, who goes under the name Shock Effect. He's in there at number seven. Yeah. Nicely done.
I slipped one this week away from you. Yeah,
that's
Adhesive
right.
Wombat squeezed it in there.
Yeah, I blame Wombat for that. Corey D. Willis at number eight, Rubelax at number nine, and Stinky Pete at number 10. Bringing
Stinky
up the
Pete.
Rear. Yep. Love playing with you guys. We're going to keep that going. And I guess you played the Relic Mutators on Mutator Friday, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I like the
Relics.
That's
what we did last week. That's
what
we played last
week.
We played the Relic Mutators, which are the ones that allow you to have like super strength. You pick them up; they're dropped around the map. You pick those up. There's there's a couple of them. There's some that gives you extra health, some that give you extra power, some that gives you extra jumpies. And then the one I love the most, which is the Relic Redeemer, which whenever someone kills you, it blows up a Redeemer Bomb. Now, that is satisfying.
It feels real good. You end up wiping out like six other guys as they spawn over there.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
That's the way to do some gibbing.
Anyway, Gib, it's the Gib that just keeps on gibbing, really.
Yeah.
Big shout out to some of the other Frog Pants voices who showed up for this. Coverville was there, a.k.a. Brian Nibbett, Amy, a.k.a. Red Fraggle. Scott Fletcher showed up and played a bunch with us. That was awesome. We'll have more of this coming up soon. And also, Brian set up an Unreal Tournament 2004 server, and I could not be happier about this because here's the deal.
Yeah.
UT99, classic, okay? All-time classic.
People love it.
UT 2004, arguably the peak of all Unreal ever.
Yes.
It's really good. And I want to play some of that large map crap in there.
There's vehicles in this one.
The
engine is newer. We've got fancier graphics. It moves a little slower for me. This is true of the Quake series as well. The first ones are really fast. I like how those feel. This feels a little more floaty to me, and it takes a little longer to kill the other guys, but there's
also,
no mistaking.
Guess what's in there, good. Though? There's a mutator in there to have it be the movement speed of the original Unreal.
Oh,
if you want.
The original. I did not know that. I'll just try that.
I think it just says UT99 speed is the mutator name.
Ooh. Yes, please. Please give me the faster speed. I'm all about the speed. I need it.
I don't mind. It feels fine to me, but I'm sure that it's a little slower. I think that the overall weapons feel and stuff, all that stuff improved in 2004. And that...
Yes.
Large map vehicle shit, like the assault mode. What was the other mode? The like football one where you got a ball and you're trying to attack the base. What's it called?
Soccer?
No, it's like something ball. Monster
something
ball.
Something ball. Murder ball. Is something it murder like ball? That. I always wanted to be murder ball.
Super, super fun if enough people join up. So I really want to get in there and try that. I also think the rocket launcher in there is vastly improved over the previous one.
Yeah.
And also your pistol, your default weapon also has five
grenades to launch in it. And having that be part of your you know, your basic weapon is actually pretty rad. Anyway, I want to play all of this. I just want to play. It's all I want to do. This is all I'm into right now. I don't know what's happened, but it's 25 years ago. That's all I want to do. This is it.
It's so much fun.
This is it right here. This anyway.
25 years. Happy 25th Unreal Tournament 2004. Yep. You're still a king.
Oh, and if you guys, if you already have UT 2K4 and you're like, well, how come this won't go to 16:9 widescreen? It does, and Brian had the simplest way to do it. It's literally like I pull down the console and type in, what was the thing? Something 1080. What was it?
It's like set res 1080.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just did it. And now it stayed, and it's saved, and it's fine. Oh, and I never had to think about it again. And you can do higher resolutions than that, but that's just an example. It's great. Anyway, retrogib.com, retrogib, that's how that's spelled. Retrogib.com has details on all this stuff. And we're going to do clans. I mean, we're going all in, dude.
Yeah, all we got the clans already set up. We've got the PLRT, the PLRT, Play Retro clans. If you look for the PLRT over on GameTracker.com, it has our server information. You can join the clans there. We're having a good time.
Yep, RetroGib.com will have links to all of it, so you don't have to think too hard about it. I don't know how now, this is a different problem than UT99. Like, where if people don't have 2K4 already, in some way, how do they? What do we do there? Is there a similar kind of path we can take?
Yeah, if you go to if you look for archives of the Unreal Tournament 2004, it's the same thing. You can't purchase it anywhere. This is not our fault as fans of the franchise, and the communities are still highly active in making patches for this stuff. I'm not telling you what you can or can't do. I'm just saying I don't feel bad about that, but I didn't have to do it because I'm the same way as you. I looked in my Steam library and
already had it. Yeah.
Good same. Old games library.
And a lot of you probably do. John checked his. He had it. A lot of people already have 04. If you don't have 04, you probably bought it back in the day and you can feel okay about taking one of these links somewhere happy. So go check it out. That's retrogib.com for all the details. Our next game discussion is going to be one that changed the rental world forever. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Next week, we are talking about The Lion King. And this thing, literally, one of the great adaptations of an IP to the SNES in the history of that console. Nobody denies that. Nobody denies the quality and the goodness of The Lion King. It was a solid game. However, there's some dirty dirt going on in that game that was designed to make it so that you would not beat it on your first rental. You would have to keep coming back. And keep going to Blockbuster.
There was a real fight going on between Nintendo and specifically Blockbuster about game rentals. And NES thought they had the answer, and it was a shit answer. We were right in the middle of it. Thanks a lot, Nintendo.
Yeah, it was real weird. So we're going to talk about that and what made that game great. Kind of compare it to Aladdin and some of the other stuff that was happening around then. So check that out. That'll be next week. We go back to Nintendo, the well of Nintendo, and we talk about The Lion King for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System and the NES version of all that stuff. That's all coming up. In the meantime, I'd like to thank some new patrons that have joined us on the podcast. Chris, CJ, and Oslin McColgan?
McColgan?
I think that's right. You guys are awesome. Thank you for joining us. You get no commercials ever. You get pre-show content every week and other cool benefits. It can only be yours if you go sign up today at patreon.com/playretro. Everything else is at frogpants.com/playretro. And that is going to do it for us. Brian, is there anything else you'd like to... Are we going to play today? What are we doing? Are we going to play a little of the thing?
I plan on playing today. I wasn't sure what your schedule was, but I was hoping to play it at 6 p.m. That's the schedule for Friday nights with the Unreal Tournament. It's up to you whether we want to do 2004 or if we want to do UT99 or a little bit of both, because I don't think everybody's got theirs installed yet. So maybe play a little UT99.
Let's hop in 04 to see what it looks like in there.
Yeah, let's just see.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. So I need about a half hour to post the show, and then you guys who are here live, you can come right back and be a part of this. Go get your UT2K4s installed right now if you want to play with us. If it doesn't work out and we can't get enough people, we'll jump over to UT99 anyway. All right? Because both are running. We got them both up there.
We got them both up there, baby.
That's going to do it for us. Listen, everybody within the sound of our voice, go play something retro. All right?
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Keep away from the water!
Stop!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
Kayla Itsinis. I'm Kyla Itsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.